Is your kingdom not magical anymore? Is your world too small these days? Do churros not cheer you up anymore? If so, we invite you to enter our portal to a whole new world. At the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast at onceuponatimepodcast.com, Jeff and Colleen Roney will guide you through the episodes of ABC TV's Once Upon a Time, just like a VIP tour. No fast pass or magic band needed, just faith, trust, and an iTunes subscription.
We'd like you to be our guest, dearies. With a little magic and a price to seal the deal, all your dreams can come true.
Find your happy place at onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 50 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to take a question from one of our friends on the Disney Nerds Facebook page and discuss it. Now, we like to look at our Facebook pages a lot because there's so many good show ideas out there. And a couple weeks ago, we asked for a question and one of our friends came up with a great one. So we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. On tonight's show, this is Ed.
This is Sam.
And Jennifer.
So in this week's show, we're going to talk about a topic given to us from one of our friends on Facebook. And the topic's a really cool one. And if you're a listener of the show, I'm sure you've heard of trips like this. Well, there's a type of trip to Walt Disney World, or to any Disney park, really, that you would call a solo Disney trip. Basically, you're going to the parks by yourself. Now, when I first heard that 10 years ago, perhaps, I thought that was the oddest thing. How can you not go to Disney World with your family or without your family? How can you miss that? Well, it got to the point where we did go with the family a lot, and I saw the benefits of taking a solo trip. I heard a lot of the podcasters talk about it, and I figured that's what we're going to talk about today. So now Keith brought up that topic, and it was a really good one. So before we start, let's read what Keith wrote us. Okay. Keith White wrote, "I would love to hear you talk about the following topic. If you had the opportunity to go to the world alone for a weekend, what would your touring plan be? Where would you eat and where would you stay?" Well, you know, that's a great question. And between Sam, Jennifer, and I, we've all taken solo trips to the parks. What do you guys think about solo trips? Let's start with that. How many trips have you taken?
I've actually just taken two true solo trips. The first one I took, I was 11 weeks pregnant with twins and wasn't sure when I would get back, which is funny because they went several times in their first year. But I felt like I really needed to get down one more time. We had annual passes, and kind of like you, Ed, I thought, what am I going to do by myself? But I've heard people do this, and I kind of took a lot of flack for it. People thought it was a crazy choice, but it was an amazing trip, and so I've done one more since then.
Awesome. How about you, Sam?
So I have a couple, two that I would say were planned as solo trips, and they were planned around an event. So Epcot's 30th and a Star Wars weekends where I had an annual pass. It was something I wanted to see, and I just booked something and went down. Now, on the flip side of that, I travel a lot for my day job, and every once in a while I'll have business meetings in Florida, and just with my annual pass sort of swing by and have dinner in the afternoon or in the evening or something along those lines. So two different types of solo trips. One's just going to get that quick fix while you can, and the other's actually planning it out. So twice, I guess. How about you, Ed?
I've actually taken, so far, three solo trips, and the one in October will be number four. And it was the type of thing where about, I got to say, maybe 7 years ago, I had been laid off of the job I was at, at a technology company. It was the trend that was going on. There was a lot of us that got laid off. But the severance package was incredible. The outstanding vacation time they had to pay also was an incredible check. So I was like, well, I'm out of work before I go on unemployment. Let's finally do this. It was September, so it was a great time of the year to do it. The kids had just gone back to school. And to kind of take my mind off everything else that had gone on, I decided to go down for a week. And, you know, it turned out to be a really good trip. And the next time I went was the year when they had... Do you remember when they ran that program at Disney where if you worked a day at a charity or you did something for a charity and you got them to sign off on it, you submitted it to Disney, they gave you a free day at the park, a free ticket.
Give a day, get a day, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Well, they did that about 8 months before we were going to do our first cruise. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to go down there, take that one day, cash it in for an annual pass, do 4 days, 5 days at the park, and then we're going to come back that next summer, within the year, I'd use the annual pass, and basically we do it that way. I figured with the $90-odd dollars that they were giving me for free, it was like a discount on the annual pass.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a little jealous because a week, I've only ever done, you know, 3 days here and there. A week solo trip sounds amazing.
I'm with you there. I've not done that either.
Yeah, and I still can't figure out how I did it, but it was worth it. And I'm trying to think now, by the third trip, and we'll talk about this in a couple minutes, but the third trip I did it as a destination. There was the Be Our Guest podcast who had their Epic October event, which happens every October. They have the marathon weekend. And, well, actually, it's the Tower of Terror weekend now. And they all get together down there, and you see a lot of people that you've met online or you've seen before at different events. So that was my third trip. And all of them very fun. Now, as a solo trip goes, one of the things Keith asked about is, where are you going to stay? Now, I'm not too concerned on a solo trip where I'm going to stay. I'm going to probably get the best rate. And I think out of the 3 times I went, I only stayed on property once. I stayed off property the other 2 times. How about you guys? The full treatment?
It depends on whether I have DVC points available.
DVC points or a good annual pass holder rate.
Yeah, but I'm with you. If I'm there by myself and, you know, we actually cram all 5 of us while my littlest is still an infant at Disney. We cram all 5 of us in a studio. So for me, if I'm there by myself, anywhere is perfectly fine. So if I'm paying out of pocket, I tend to have I stayed at a value. Even if it's just my husband and I, we'll just stay at a value to sleep there because we're in the parks more than we are with the kids. But if I have DVC points available, then that's actually where I stay on the gyms I went.
How about you, Sam?
So where I primarily went with where I was going to spend the time. So if I'm going down for Star Wars weekend, I'm going to say somewhere around the Epcot resort area, or at least try to. Although thinking about this now, you know, there could be the potential of a solo trip for something like Destination D, in which case being over on the monorail would be great. But again, it depends on rates. If I'm off-site, it's no big deal. An annual pass holder, you're going to show your card and be able to park for nothing. You just have to get there a little early. But when you're by yourself, that's easy to do. You can get up. You can go wherever you want. And I think that's part of the beauty of being solo. There's no restrictions at all. You can change your mind and do something completely different if that's what you feel like.
Right. And I think Sam just hit it on the head right there in that there are really no said restrictions. You're not there to please anybody but yourself. And I understand it sounds selfish, and it does a little bit, but it's the type of thing where, you know what, we do take the kids down there too, and we do have family trips. This is the one time I'm going to be able to do some of the things that I really want to do.
Well, and, you know, the question that Keith asked mentioned dining as well. And I know we had talked a little bit about this in discussing this topic beforehand, and it goes along with exactly what Sam was just saying. I don't even really plan out where I'm going to eat unless, you know, one time I went down for an event like a candlelight processional and there was a related dinner package. But in general, if I'm by myself, I'm not planning where I'm eating. I'm, you know, snacking more. I'm eating whenever I'm hungry and, you know, maybe not until then. And I don't have kids that are on a schedule. And so, yeah, pretty much my entire trip is far less planned, which is very, very different for most of us Disney nerds who are used to spreadsheets and color coding and reservations and months of planning. Is that just me?
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely.
No.
We're all guilty. All guilty.
So it really opens up dining options. I think there are lots of places that you can just walk up to and get in. There's lots of places with a counter service or a bar, like, for example, 50s Primetime. You can just go in there, sit at the bar, and grab something. And I think I talked about that in one of the shows. Same with lots of locations.
Well, in that place in particular, and probably many of the others, you can get a full menu, including the famous peanut butter and jelly milkshake there. But most of the places, you can get a full menu or at least a good solid meal and something that might be delicious that you would have never tried because you don't typically sit with your family at a bar.
Sure. Or better yet, you're going to be able to eat at Morocco, which my family refused to even try. And I ate there the one time, got the combination whatever platter, and it was great to try it out, sit out there, and kind of relax for about 20 minutes, half hour, kind of, you know, tasting a different food and enjoying it.
For as long as you want.
Exactly.
Yes.
And again, it kind of comes down to that, is you have your choice of what to do. However, there are some dangers. Now, the first time I went solo, I noticed on the first day that I went from about 7:30 in the morning to about maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock without eating anything at all. Maybe I had one drink, and it was, you know, it was hot. So I had to get to the point where I almost scheduled myself to have lunch, have dinner, drink a bottle of water as I was going around the parks. Normally, it's because the kids start whining at a certain time because it's time to eat, or, you know, it's on your schedule to eat at 11 because nobody's eating at 11 yet. You could have lunch then. It didn't matter. But then again, I didn't even think about it. I was having too much fun.
Yeah, you do lose track of time for sure when you're by yourself, or I did anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very much so. But again, that's kind of, I think, part of the charm of it a little bit too.
I do think that's why it's so appealing, because there's not, for many of us, that's not, it doesn't even sound appealing until you do it once, to go somewhere that doesn't seem so full. A lot of us like to vacation, you know, maybe not open to close like commando style touring, but still we like to go to a place like Disney World that has a lot of stimulation and a lot of activities. And many of us probably in our daily lives are very busy and like to be structured and scheduled. And so at first it seems like this would be like the antithesis of a good vacation for one of us. But when you get down there, I think it's exactly what we need to just sit in our favorite place and take in the sights and sounds for, like you guys said, however long you feel like it. And maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's an hour.
It's also something to take advantage of getting places you wouldn't normally go. On two of the trips, the one trip I hit the train room over at the Wilderness Lodge, which is a really fun thing to do. And there's no way I could have dragged the family. I would never have expected them to do it. Not for the bad sense of them not wanting to do it. It just was kind of boring for them. The other thing I did, which was pretty cool, was I did a full photo shoot of all the windows on Main Street. So I was able to get really good shots because I was able to stand there for a couple of seconds and take pictures of each one of them. And I thought that was pretty cool to do too. Again, nerd. I understand it's very nerdy. However, I really like to see those pictures every so often. And it was part of a couple of good blog posts I had earlier on. So you get to do some of those types of things also, which is really awesome.
Ed, that is probably my number one favorite reason to go down for a solo trip, is to actually take good camera gear that I don't bother with when I have my family there. And Sam, I'm sure you can speak to this as well. I don't do video, but I know you do. There's something about when you're on vacation with your family, you want to take good pictures, but you definitely want to balance not spending your entire time behind the camera. But if you're there just to take in the sights and sounds, you can do that and get great pictures and video, whether for a blog post or for just memories or for framing at home. Or and if you're not a photographer, videographer, you can just stop and look at those details. Read a book about the windows on Main Street before you go down or while you're there. And it's really the perfect trip for a Disney nerd, to be able to take in all the details that we might not get while our kids are screaming about the balloon guy.
You hear people say it, right? It's the research trip. And it sounds so cliche, but it's true. because I do that with my blog. You guys do it with their, with yours. And it's just that opportunity to see the things that you can't see when you're with others.
Right. Oh, definitely. Another big destination for me is One Man's Dream.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You get to spend a little extra time in each of the sections in there because there's not somebody really kind of moving you along trying to get to the next section or get out.
That's a great one, too, because you can't even take strollers in there. If you have kids that want to see it, but they're little, or you have a sleeping baby, like, that's not a kid-friendly attraction, even if you have kids that would enjoy it. So that's a great choice.
Love it.
Now, something Keith mentioned was that, what would we do for a weekend? Now, I'm going to assume that's going to be maybe half a day Friday, full day Saturday, Sunday, and we'll leave Monday morning. And my first instinct was, well, I'm going to start cutting parks because I'm only there for a couple of days.
Yep.
And probably Animal Kingdom goes to the floor first. And I'll probably split the time between major Magic Kingdom time, major Epcot time, and then maybe half a day at Hollywood Studios.
See, I like to try to get them all, unless there's like an event. I know, Sam, you went down for Star Wars weekend and pretty much spent most, if not all, your time in the studios.
And that's why I was there, yeah.
Can understand that for sure. If you're going down for food and wine, you might not leave Epcot much. But if I'm going down just because, or I'm going down during a time that's not centered around an event, which those times are becoming fewer now, but I feel like I don't have a complete trip if I don't at least go to some of the parks. And you know me, I've been around a little while now. I certainly wouldn't cut Animal Kingdom first, but
right.
Because that's the park that I would really love to spend more time looking at the details. And there aren't a lot of, you know, thrill rides or anything, but if that's not why I'm there, then I love being in that park. But and my kids might get bored there a little faster. So I probably would do, the most time at Epcot, and then the Magic Kingdom, and then split the time between the remaining time between Studios and Animal Kingdom, even if it meant a little less time. And while we're on that, I would probably consider at least mixing that entire plan and spending a whole day doing back-to-back Animation Academy classes, because I love that. But it just takes so long, and there's always someone there who's done like 13, half-hour shows in a row, and I'm like, that looks so cool, but with kids, there's no way they're sitting there for, you know, 6 hours of your day. So I'm not sure I actually could either, but it's worth a thought.
Sure. Oh, definitely. Now, that would have to be a couple of days more than 3 days to do that.
I think so, too. Yeah.
But that's a great idea. I could really appreciate spending an entire morning maybe in a little bit doing that.
If I were local, that would be one of the first things I would do, I think.
I'd come to the park to eat, do that, and then leave if I was a local. I mean, that would be a perfect afternoon.
That's another good show of what would be the first thing to do. So the first thing we would do.
Writing it down.
Well, if you're solo, what is the first thing you do? Is there something you do? Is there something you have to do every time if you're with the family or not?
General, same thing for me, is I got to get to the Magic Kingdom. That seems to be my first place I got to go after the hotel. What to do there? Just get in the park, get on a ride.
Get on Main. Well, you already just get on Main Street even.
Sometimes that's enough. There are some things that I have to do. I need to get to England at some point, or the United Kingdom, and have the fish and chips. It's just something I do every trip. I love to get a cannoli in Italy, right? Those sort of little things that I'll do if I'm on my own. We all have those little things.
I think the thing that I would do, end up doing, and maybe even focus specifically on when I'm there now again with my kids, or without my kids after having had them, I miss the parks at night. And now we often travel in like the winter when it does get dark and things start lighting up, 6 p.m. But I have early risers, so we're waiting for the parks open in the morning. And unless we're keeping our kids awake somehow for an evening show, we're out of the parks by 7 o'clock. So not always, but very often. And so I miss just the atmosphere of at 11 o'clock at the Magic Kingdom. A little bit thinned out crowds, cooler temperatures, lights everywhere. I think that would be probably where I'd spend more time, maybe staying in Epcot after Illuminations is over a little longer, instead of just saying, gosh, we barely made it through the nighttime show, let's hope we can get back to the hotel.
Right.
Just
that makes
taking
a lot of
my
sense.
Time to enjoy that. So
sure.
even though it would be a similar trip just solo without kids, I think there are some things that I've started to miss now having taken kids since, because my solo trips were actually prior to having them. So it'll be interesting. The next time I go down, I'll have to report back and see if it looks any different.
Research trip.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Some of the other benefits that really stick out when you're by yourself, first and foremost, is the single rider line. Of course, that's a bonus that can't be beat. And I tell you what, sometimes we use it when they're families, when I'm with the family also. So, but by yourself, no question. Test track, Everest. But anyway, so that's something to look forward to. The price is a lot better if you ever went by yourself as opposed to going with your whole family.
Well, especially for all of us that are flying. That makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, sure it does.
Right. All the way around. Even to the point where you can almost justify something different, where you can spend a couple extra bucks like a tour. And I've done on two of the solo trips, I've done a tour on each trip, and it was well worth it. And it's a type of thing where, and it sounds so bad, and I apologize for this in advance, but it's very, very affordable when it's just you. It's very, very unaffordable when it's all four of your family, or five, or how many you have in your family. Now, and to something that they might not really appreciate.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like you're doing your kids' favorite things on purpose without them. It would be doing, you know, a behind-the-scenes tour if you love gardening but none of your kids do, or a Marceline to Missouri if you love the history of Walt and your kids are too young to really appreciate that or just don't care. So it's a great time to do those activities that you would spend that money on, and they might not even want to do it in the first place, in which case I wouldn't feel bad about it.
True.
I would feel guilty if I were, you know, doing an amazingly fun kid-centric tour without my kids, but...
And sure. I don't find myself on It's a Small World. I find myself in One Man's Dream for hours.
Right. And your kids probably aren't that upset about.
Not at all. That's what you did, Dad? You didn't ride that? You didn't do that? What did you do?
Did you meet Aurora? Like, well...
No.
What?
No, I didn't, actually. Time.
Although I do tell you, the solo trips guarantee the kids better souvenirs. So they are kind of half and half as far as this goes.
That's good.
They get over the point that I'm going without them by realizing that they're probably going to get something really cool when I get home.
That's a good tactic.
It doesn't hurt. And nowadays, because they do know the parks a little bit better, being older, they can almost pick out what they want before I even go. So...
I think another thing to the point of doing things that might bore your kids but would be interested in, I think it's a great time if you're interested in checking out the different resorts or Fort Wilderness or the Tri-Circle D Ranch or any of the things that take away from the park time, which I think if you have kids is hard to do. Even if you know they're going to love X, Y, or Z activity that you've planned for them, it's really difficult to tell my six-year-old, oh no, we're gonna leave Fantasyland and go look at this cool hotel. Like, that just doesn't fly. So it's another time that you as an adult can kind of realize what else is out there.
Oh, sure.
And it doesn't seem so it doesn't seem like you have to pull any teeth. You can just, as we've mentioned, you can just go wherever you decide sounds good for the day.
Very much so. And actually, it's almost fun kind of planning around those type of things. Like I mentioned, I went to the Wilderness Lodge. Well, it was kind of fun planning out that, you know what, I'm going to take the boat to the Wilderness Lodge. And then I'm going to walk through the property. I was able to walk through the lobby, saw the geyser, saw this and that. Walked over to the DVC section, saw the Iron Spike Room and all that. That was fun. And then I took the bus to downtown Disney. And so I basically planned out the entire day from starting at the Magic Kingdom at Rope Drop through basically downtown Disney early evening and then the rest of my night. So it was kind of a nice change of, right, getting to a park, busting through it, deciding either go back to the hotel or to another park. Definitely changed it up.
Sounds like a great trip. A great time.
Downtown Disney is another great place too, whether you're a shopper and you don't have to worry about kids being bored or seeing what you're buying or what have you, or if you want to check out, you know, bars and restaurants. I know some people aren't very comfortable with that, but if you're okay you know, pulling up to a bar to get a drink here or there, or, you know, get an appetizer somewhere by yourself. That's a great place to check out so many live music acts or whatever else might be going on at a time that, you know, your family might not, it might not be the most family friendly, especially depending on the age of your kids. So there's so many things to do.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Now, I was just thinking that there is one thing I want to warn you about, and maybe it's just me, but the first couple times I went, because they were true solo trips and I really wasn't meeting up with anybody, they were a little bit more of me talking to me, talking to myself almost. I don't want to sound weird, but it's the type of thing where you find you really wanted to say something to somebody, and, well, there's nobody with you. So you're talking in your head a lot, and you're trying to remember things, stuff like that. Or what's really even cooler is that anytime you're in a line at Disney World, anytime, with family or not, you always strike up a conversation with somebody in front or behind you. So that's one of the complaints people have of, how can you go solo? You're going to go crazy. Well, you can talk to people. It's not prohibited. But there are certain times when you're the only one that's going to be talking to, so kind of funny.
Yeah, you should talk in your head. I would only hope that it's always just in my head and not ever out loud.
That's why I take the camera, the video with me. Then I get to talk to somebody.
Right, yeah, you're talking to your camera.
That's sneaky. I like it.
And maybe that is, you know, all along.
No, no, I'm just recording. I'm a narrator. Recording something. I like it. I might need to start making some video.
Now, one other quick question is, if do you guys ever eat at a sit-down when you're down there by yourselves?
I've never had a reservation being by myself, but I have eaten at sit-downs, meaning I snuck in – and let's define that, because I snuck into Tutto Gusto, which has the full menu of Tutto Italia, but it's the smaller place. So
nice.
I was able to get something that I like, right? So it's sort of like that, go to the bar and sit down and get the full menu.
Right. Well, I'm speaking toward the complaint other people have as far as, how can you sit and eat dinner by yourself, or sit and sit down by yourself? I'm curious.
I do actually have an anecdote that my husband likes to give me a hard time about still, because it was incredibly awkward for me. But I don't mind going to a restaurant and sitting down at a table by myself, enjoying my food, people watching. I could probably do that with no problem. When I went for the trip that I mentioned and went to the Candlelight Processional Dinner, the only thing that was available by the time I booked was for Beer Garden, and I had never been, and I had no idea that they sat family style. So I was there incredibly sick over the smells because, as I mentioned, I was pregnant and just – it was awful. And then to make things more fun, so we're sitting in Beer Garden, and you sit with what is it, something like 12 people, 16 people. It's a huge table. And so you're almost always sitting with people that you don't know. Even when we went as a family of five, we sat with three other families. It's a huge table. Well, there was one other solo man there who was at the end of the table with me, and the entire night, the whole restaurant just assumed we were together. So that was a long night. He was nice. I don't even remember his name, but my husband likes to give me a hard time because everyone just kept asking where we were from and how many times we had been and how long we had been married. And, and I just felt terrible. And So if you're going to eat by yourself, just realize – sometimes you might not be by yourself and decide whether that's worth it for you, because that I would not recommend. But I survived it, and it's a good story now, and now I know.
Well, that's also a good way to gain companionship if you really wanted to talk to somebody, is reservation there, reservation over at the Japanese place for the you know, the tabletop, when they make the food on the tabletop.
That's right.
There's always room, right? They always put as many people as they need.
I think it's important to know, though, because a lot of people don't really believe this, but I'm extremely introverted, and it's so hard to make small talk, especially in person, and I don't know. For some people, I think that would make for a miserable dinner. I mean, it did, but I think going into that would make me kind of anxious. And so you're right. For some people, that is like the saving grace. I don't want to eat alone. I'm going to go here. I'm going to chat it up. I'm going to make friends, and it's going to be great. And then for other people, I think you'd walk in and just be terrified. So definitely, maybe that is a one place that you do your research before you go on a solo trip.
Oh, definitely. I've made many reservations. I've canceled all but one. I've only eaten once. And just because I was at the right place at the right time, and it was totally worth it. It was Kona, so I couldn't pass Kona up.
Exactly.
Well, and that's different now, too. I don't know the last time you went, but now almost all the restaurants have a cancellation fee. So it's harder to do that, to make reservations that you're not sure whether you'll keep.
True, but you still have to cancel, I guess, the day before or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know what one you have to worry about it. I really don't.
Right, you almost don't make your reservations in advance, you mean.
I would agree with that. I did just for the fun of it, but I kind of agree with that. Okay, well, that's very cool. And you know what, guys? I think we are all on the same page with the solo trips. Keith, I hope we helped you out. Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about is that as I've gone on with these solo trips, I've kind of changed it up a little bit. I've actually made enough friends online and go to Disney World enough and do different events that I kind of coordinate meeting with people to when I do a solo trip like this. So, like I said, my third solo trip was to Epic October with the Be Our Guest podcast guys. So there was about 25, 35 people that were down doing various meets. There was a picture scavenger hunt. There was a dinner meet. They had an awesome breakfast above the Maelstrom in Norway. So it was a really fun opportunity to get to know people and then meet people you haven't seen in a while. Now, that's the perfect opportunity because this trip we have coming up in October, again, is going to be a solo trip for me. However, I'm having the opportunity to meet up with a lot of people. So it's going to be great to be able to split my time with a lot of people that I want to hang out with. And then there's still going to be time to basically do a lot of the stuff that I want to do too. So it's kind of like goes hand in hand. I think it's great. What do you guys think? Do you think as you've progressively gone on trips, you've kind of changed the way you've done them, or you basically have been doing it straight the same way each time?
I definitely think that it has evolved over time, primarily just as you mentioned, the people that we know, the fact that Destination D, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people around. That might be my next one. It's only been a few, but you know what? I if you're considering it, I would do it, especially if it's a weekend. You can do lots of things that you may not have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah, I would have to say that mine have not yet evolved, but as we were talking earlier, I think that they would, just because I've gone to Disney parks more, a greater number of times in general, kind of figured out what I like, what I would like to do more of, what my family would miss or not miss. I think it would evolve some. And also, as you mentioned, I think that if you're considering a trip but don't have a specific date in mind, now for me, it's been everything sort of fell into place and, oh, I think I should definitely take advantage of it and go. But if you're thinking about a solo trip and have more flexibility than that, it might be a great idea to find, hey, maybe a Disney Nerds podcast meet in October, or if you can't go that quickly, then shameless plug, right? Then a just anything else that's going on, Destination D or a certain event, and plan it around that. And Ed, you're right, you're gonna find somebody else there to talk to, and even if it's just in line. And I don't know, it might be a new way to meet people. And
well, and it kind of is, and you're always going to take a chance with people online. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. However, I found through experience with the Disney community, it's pretty much what you see is what you get, or for us, what you hear is what you get. We're pretty much normal people who basically love Disney so much, and we just kind of want to share that a little bit.
You haven't met me yet, technically.
Correct. None of
so
us.
You can't speak, you can't that's say right. that for sure, but I like to think I'm pretty normal.
You know, the other thing.
I was wondering if you're meant the normal part or the Disney part. Okay, good, cool. Thanks for clarifying.
I think we all do. And now, the one thing I'll add, because we're talking about solo trips, but I have to say that with kids that are, my children are in their teens, so we always went with the kids. And for years and years, and just about 18 months or so ago, I finally went without the kids, just me and my wife. And I have to say, it was pretty darn close to a solo trip, and it was a great experience to do the things that you just can't do with the kids, like the Queen Victoria room over at Victoria and Albert's and things like that. So you can also consider it that way. So solo's great, but there are also situations where it can be a lot like a solo trip and give you a lot more flexibility by going without the kids. And I have to say, a lot of the people were, really? You're going to go to Walt Disney World without your kids? How can you do that? But it was a different trip, most definitely.
All right. Our favorite trips. We have some amazing memories. It's different for sure. I guess I shouldn't say our favorite trips, but my husband and I have had some incredible trips without the kids before we had them. And leaving them at home, you're absolutely right. It's a different trip, and you can experience a lot of the same flexibility and the same really unique opportunities you get to on a solo trip, but you don't have to talk to yourself.
Right. Very much so. Well, cool. Well, cool. Nice. Great topic. Awesome topic this week. Thanks again, Keith. That was truly appreciated. If you want to get involved in this topic, or if you have any other ideas, please get in touch with us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. You can send us an email or touch base with us on our Facebook pages. We have the Disney Nerd podcast page, and we have the Disney Nerd group page. So check us out on Facebook. Again, thank you, Keith, for that topic. Awesome topic. And that's it for this week. Thank you guys for listening to show number 50 of the Disney Nerds podcast. So for Jennifer, for Sam, and this is Ed, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Congaloosh.
Bye.
Quaharini for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we miss you, Jimmy. We'll see you next week.
Disney Nerds Podcast. We love you. Disney Nerds Podcast. We love you. Disney Nerds Podcast. It's true. Disney Nerds Podcast. We love you. Thank you so very, very much. Have a great night. All the best to everybody.